understand if you got to get the cornbread cooking. So it's all good. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get into the word tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin this message, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin the message in verse number 9. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in the house of God and to open up the word of life. Lord, we ask for your anointing to be upon your word this morning and this evening. Lord, we pray that the work that you began this morning, you would continue doing this evening. We pray, God, that you would continue to pour out your spirit upon us tonight. Lord, I ask for that anointing to be upon your word. And Lord, I ask for that anointing to preach and to teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing, that we can hear and receive what the Spirit is speaking this evening. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to be beginning in verse number 9. I want to bring you to this passage for a reason, because God, I want you to know, God's going to hold all of us to an account. How many of you know that? We're all going to stand before God one day. Now, whether you get to go to heaven or not, that's determined by whether your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. But God is still going to hold us accountable for what we've done here and now. And I want you to know that the clock's ticking on a lot of us. I don't know. Amen. Nobody has the pause button. The clock's ticking. And it's. I believe God wants us to get these things right. Those of you that are young, God wants you to get your path set straight so that you can follow the purpose and the plan that God has, not what you have. That's one of the things I try to tell my kids. Look, it's okay whenever somebody says, what do you want to be when you grow up? But it's more important that you sit at God's feet and say, Lord, what do you want me to be? Amen? It's far more important that you learn to follow the path and the plan of God for your life. Amen. Read with me in verse number 9 this evening. It says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me stop right there for a second and tell you, look back with me in verse number 9. It says that we are laborers together with God. That means that the things that you do as a believer matter. You are either laboring with God or you're resisting the Spirit of God. There's things that God wants us to do, but we're too sleep at the wheel or too busy with our own agenda. But God's called you to a heavenly calling, and He has a purpose for your life. Amen? And we are called to labor together with God. And so many people think that they said yes to a prayer line, they said yes to Jesus, and then they go on about their own business, their own agenda, their own way. But I want to tell you, when the Word of God says you've been bought with the price, it doesn't mean you were bought and put on a shelf. It means you were bought and the Spirit of God came down upon you, and He's going to use you for His own glory and His own agenda, His own plan, and His own purpose. Amen. When we come to the cross, we lay ourselves down. We lay our own plans down. We lay our own dreams down. We lay our own my way or the highway down. And we say, yes, Lord, I'll be yours. You bought me with that price. I say, yes, Lord, you can have me. Use me how you see fit. Amen. I tell you, if I would have had it my way, I would have never preached. But God told me as soon as I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd be preaching. That wasn't my plan. I didn't have the ability to preach or talk in front of people without getting nervous and fearful and stammering and stuttering and not knowing what to do. But the Spirit of God said, I've got a different plan for you. Amen? But I want you to see, God wants you to co-labor with Him on His purpose and His agenda for your life. Amen? How many of you believe that there's a world that's lost? How many of you believe that the world's going to hell in a handbasket? Amen. It's getting crazy out there, isn't it? Amen. And I believe it's high time for the church to stop playing laser tag inside the building and to go win some souls in the highways and byways. Amen. I believe it's time to stop playing laser tag and go get on fire for God and go do what He's called us to do. Amen. We've got an agenda that God has laid out before us. And part of it here, it says that we're supposed to labor together with God. And I want to ask you before we begin, are you laboring together with God? Are you going forward with God? Can He use you? Are you laboring together? Now, the word labor is not fun, especially, you know, if you know what a shovel is. The word labor is not fun, but when you labor together with God, it's His strength, not yours. He just needs your surrender. All He needs is you to say yes and stop resisting. He just needs you to lay down your pride. He needs you to lay down your own agenda and just surrender to Him, and He will take care of the rest. Amen? That's what He does. But He says here in verse 10 and 11 that He said, I laid this foundation. This is the Apostle Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. You're a Gentile. Okay. No, you're a Gentile. And He said, I laid this foundation. This foundation is Jesus. And He said, other people can build on it, but they can't build any other foundation but the foundation of Jesus. Let me tell you, anything that we do as Christians has to be built on and rooted in the foundation of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what denomination or race or creed you want to talk about, song you want to sing, everything that we do has to be on the shoulders of Jesus. It is built and root and bought and tried through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But so many people have their own agendas and their own plans. And I want to tell you, not only is God calling you to labor together with Him, but God's calling you to get involved in this kingdom work. One of the things that we see here as we continue on, it says in verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation. Now, I've got to tell you this. I know how it is, because a lot of people, whenever you talk about building for the kingdom of God and you talk about laboring with God, a lot of us say, I'll let those headstrong, I'll let those real zealous people do all that, and I'm going to hang back here in the back. I'm going to sit in the back seat. No offense to the back row, right? But I'm going to hang back, and I'm going to let all the zealous people pull the weight, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to murder people. I'm not going to rob a bank. I'm just going to whittle this stick and maybe make a birdhouse and, you know, just watch the ball game and then we'll just go to glory, right? This is not what God's called you to do. And I believe the message that God wants you to get tonight, I believe the reason you're here tonight is because God wants you to see that there's actually a design for you to move forward in the kingdom of God. It says here in verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Listen, do y'all know what every means, right? Every man's work will be made manifest, okay? For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's get into this for a second. He said that every man's work is going to be made manifest and is going to be declared by the fire. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We're talking about everything that you do is going to be tried by the fire of Jesus. From the offering that you bring, the song that you sing, from helping somebody out or bringing somebody a bowl of water. It doesn't matter what you do. Everything that you do is going to be made manifest. Now, the word manifest means made apparent. There's not going to be any secrecy involved. You're not going to be able to put perfume on it on Judgment Day. You're not going to be able to say, well, I tried hard, but they didn't like it, or I was doing my best. None of that's going to matter, because the Holy Spirit of God, the fire of God, is going to take every work that you've done, every good word you've said, every idle word you've said, every negative word you've said, everything that you've done, the Spirit of God's going to take it and He's going to run it through the holy fire. And if it's wood, hay, and stubble, you know what? It's not going to be on the other side of that fire. In other words, the reason why we do things and what we do, if it's wood, hay, and stubble, that means that it wasn't of God because it can't stand the test of the fire. That's what it means to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's not that, you know, you're not all that good and you can't jump as high as everybody else. That's not what he means. It means if it's something that you're doing in conjunction, co-laboring with God, if it's a work of God, it will stand the fire of God. But if it's a work of the flesh, it'll be burned up on judgment day. It doesn't matter how much money you gave to the offering. It doesn't matter, you know, oh, the church, they want to build a youth program. Here's a, you know, put my name on the wall. Here you go. That doesn't matter to God because he's going to try that offering through fire. And if it wasn't for a God-birthed thing, then it's going to be eliminated on that day. Now, I know that a lot of us, we say, well, I just won't do anything then. I don't want anything burned up. I'm not really concerned about rewards. I'm just here. I'm just going to do my thing. I'm not going to get on the bad side of God, but I'm just going to kind of ride through. I know that's how a lot of people think, but I want you to know Jesus said that even your idle words are going to be judged. I want to touch on this for a minute. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. I want to show you what I'm talking about here in Matthew chapter 12. Some of us would rather hide back. Amen. You know, even whenever you talk about doing things for God, some people say, well, Pastor, I'm not into all this kind of doing right now. I'm kind of in a season of waiting. I'm kind of in a chill season, Pastor. Amen. How many of y'all heard somebody say that? How many of you thought that? I'm not into going and doing all that. I'm just kind of in a hang back season, Pastor. But I want to tell you that even in a hang back season, there's work to be done. Amen. Even whenever you're in a season of waiting, you should be tarrying at the altar of God. Even in a hang back season, you should be praying through and lifting burdens. Even in a season of waiting, you should be pressing into God. You should be fervently approaching God every day. Even if you're in a season where you're not physically, actively going out and advancing the kingdom, you should be advancing the kingdom in your soul. You should be advancing the kingdom in your prayer life. You should be moving forward in the Spirit. And I assure you, if God's got you in a season of waiting, if you'll tarry and if you'll pray and if you'll press, God will say that there's a blessing on that. So many people, they say, well, I'm not into the going and doing, but God wants to do something in you. Now, I want you to know and understand God's got this message going for a reason. Hang with me. Look at what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34. Oh, generation of vipers. You didn't know that Jesus talked like that, did you? I thought Jesus was supposed to encourage everybody. Everybody wants an encouraging word from the Lord, right? Pastor, what's the word today? Oh, generation of vipers. Hold on. Whoa. Jesus said, oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Y'all know that, right? A good man out of the good treasure, the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Listen to this. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, I believe like Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was an American evangelist in the early 1900s. I believe like him. He said he wanted to make the word of God so plain that the factory worker coming out of the factory could understand what God's saying. I want you to know the word idle. Think about the word idle. How many of y'all know what a car idling means? It's not going forward, is it? It's just sitting there. The thing's turning, but it ain't going nowhere, and it ain't doing nothing. It's just idling. Now, Jesus is calling our words idle. John Wesley, in his commentary, he said this about the idle words. He said, it's not only the blasphemous and the profane words that God's going to judge on judgment day, but it's even those things that we didn't say when we should have said. It's even those prayers that we didn't pray when we should have prayed. It's even those things that we didn't do for the furtherance of God's glory. See, the reality is when God looks at idle words, what he's saying is, he said he's going to judge you when you should have said something but didn't. That's an idle word. Now, we know that the idle hands are the devil's playground. Idle mind is the devil's playground. We know that the devil loves it whenever God's people are idle, because he can get in and he can mess some things up. And I want to tell you, if you're not going forward in God, you're in this place where the enemy may have access where he shouldn't. Amen. I want to tell you tonight that we've got a purpose in our hearts to labor together with God. And I'm going to show you how to do that in a few minutes. But I want you to know that idleness is one of the things that will hold you back from being the man or woman of God that God's called you to be. And it will bring shame on Judgment Day. Jesus said right there that every, look at that in verse 36, every idle word that men shall speak, we're going to give an account for. This causes the fear of God to come into the child of God. It causes us to say, Lord, I don't want to be judged by idle words. You could be talking about the weather, talking about sports. You could be talking about your job. You could be talking about the paint on the walls. Oh, idle. If it's not furthering and conducive to the glory of God, then it could be idle words. One of the things that God's called us to do is to speak his word, because men, listen, men are dying and going to hell. And there are more people that are going to go to hell than to heaven. And so God's called us to labor together with him for the salvation of the lost. You have a purpose, and that purpose is that men may be saved. That purpose is that God may be seen in other people's lives. That purpose is that God may be glorified through you. It is for the glory of God. God wants to be seen through your life. God saved you and gave you a testimony that other people can know about him. If God didn't want to use you for his own glory, he would have took you straight up to heaven when you got saved. But God left you here for a purpose, and that is to put his Holy Spirit in you, to breathe that life in you, that other people can see the glory of God, that even some wretch like us can get saved and full of the Holy Ghost and on fire for God, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and ready to talk to anybody and everybody about the God that saved us, bought us, cleansed us. I'm telling you, God's called you for a purpose. And every idle word. So not only are our works going to be tried. I want you to check with me here. Not only are our works going to be tried by the fire on Judgment Day, but our idle words are. The things that we're not saying. The things that we're not doing. You say, man, I wish I would have told so-and-so that, you know, keep on. You know, you're doing good. I tell you, I remember whenever we first got saved and were filled with the Holy Spirit, one of my friend's moms came up to me and told me, she said, you know, I've known you, and I've known how bad you've been, and I've known what it looks like for the devil to be upon you. And she said, but I got to tell you, Kenny, she said, you sure look good full of Jesus. You know, and I think, praise God that she didn't just sit back and twiddle her thumbs, but she spoke that over my life. Amen. That blessed me later on down the road. And it could be that God's given you words to give to someone else to encourage them. But don't be idle. Let the Spirit of God use you to be a voice of encouragement to these young folks. Be a voice of encouragement to these folks that are struggling. Be a voice of encouragement to these elder Christians in the church. Be that voice. Instead of being idle, be used by God. I want to tell you, there's danger in idleness. There's danger in idleness. Not only is there danger, but that idleness will be judged by the holy fire of God. Did you know that idleness was one of the reasons why Sodom was destroyed? Not many people knew that. Everybody knows why Sodom was destroyed. It's because of sodomy, right? Same thing going on in America right now. Right? Everybody knows sodomy. No, it's actually not only sodomy. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Let me show you this in Ezekiel chapter 16. Turn with me over there to the book of Ezekiel chapter 16. One of the things God wants you to hear this evening is that he's concerned not just with the negative or the bad words that you may speak. Amen. Not just with the negative or bad words that you speak, not just with the negative things, but also with the things that we don't do, the idleness. It says in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50, 49 and 50. This is why Sodom was destroyed. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Now, I'm showing you that because I want you to see Sodom. They were really destroyed for their, it says here, abomination. Okay? The sin of sodomy is abomination before God. Man and man and woman and woman. That is an abomination before God. It always has been. It always will be. God changes not. But before they got into the abomination, it says that they had an abundance of idleness. What is that? They weren't doing the things that God told them to do. They weren't praying. They weren't seeking God. They weren't serving God. They were just in a place of idleness. They were, I think Sister Pat, on one of her Bible studies, she called it me-itis. If you get into me-itis, that's called idleness. Okay, that's when everything's about you and what you think and how you feel and the agendas of your own life. But one of the things I believe that God wants us to work on and to look at tonight is the idleness in our own lives. And I believe that the prescription for that is to bring ourselves before God and to ask God to search our hearts, to try us, to ask the Lord God Almighty to apply the blood over our lives. You know, Isaiah, whenever Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, whenever he saw the Lord of glory and he saw the beauty of God and the train of his robe filled the place, Isaiah cried out, unclean. He was a man of unclean lips. And until that coal was applied to his lips, he was not going to speak a word. But once God applied that to his lips, he was ready. And when God said, who will go for us? Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah, at that point, after Isaiah 6, Isaiah was no more about idleness. He was no more about twiddling his fingers. He was no more about whittling sticks. He was no more about talking about the weather. From that moment in time, he knew he had a purpose, and his purpose was to go out as God said to go and to do what God told him to do. Now, this purpose that God has for us, it has to be tried by the fire. I got two places. I want to kind of turn this corner here, and I want to show you how God works this in our life. First thing that we've got to do is submit our lives to God. If you're going to turn this corner and let go of being an idle person and let go of the things that God's talking about wood, hay, and stubble being burned up on Judgment Day, the first thing we've got to do is come before God and submit ourselves to him. Let me show you that in Psalm chapter number 19. Look at verse number 14 with me in Psalm chapter 19. Let me show you this. Psalm chapter number 19. Is a psalm of David. How many of you know that David needed the cleansing work of God? Amen? He says in verse number 14. Well, let's read 13 just to get a little bit. Well, let's read 12. 12, 13, and 14. He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. What's a secret fault? Is it secret from David? Maybe it's something that He don't even know that he did. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've done something that's, Lord, if I've done something wrong, I don't even know what I've done. If there's something secret that I've done that I'm not aware about, Lord, cleanse me even of that. That takes great humility, because the Lord may cause you to go and tell someone that you're sorry for what you've done and you didn't mean to do it, and you think that you're right. God may cause you to do things that, you know, just the flesh and the pride really don't like those things to be done. But he says here to cleanse him even of those secret things. 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And here you go. This is submitting yourself before God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is about submitting your heart, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, the purpose for your life before God. And just coming before God and saying, God, let everything about me be acceptable in your sight. One of the greatest things that God looks for in a man or a woman is humility. And just saying, Lord, I need you. And I want to submit my ways before you. Don't you know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Amen. And don't you know you're not supposed to trust in your own self, right? Lean not on your own understanding, but what? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. One of our jobs that we've got to do is come before the Lord and submit our ways to Him. And I believe that people fail in this area, more in this area than probably any other area. We are a people that are presumptuous. We do what we think is right when we think it's right. We'll do what we think's right when we think it's right. But until we humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, let everything about me be acceptable in your sight. If somebody needs a phone call to be encouraged, if somebody needs me to go visit them and pray with them, if you want to use me to do this, that, or the other, Lord, let my words and everything that I think and do be acceptable in your sight. And I believe with all my heart that God won't have you talking about the weather. He won't have you talking about the sports game, right? So he says, let these things be acceptable in your sight. But how many of you know that sometimes it's not just as simple as saying, okay, God, here I am. There's actually a technical thing that needs to be done before you're acceptable in God's eyes. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Before you and I can be acceptable before God, we have to be cleansed by the blood. It doesn't matter how many religious works you do, and it doesn't matter how sincere you are. You can be as sincere as anybody else, but you can be sincerely wrong if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter how religious you are, how many good works you do. If you go back and you read in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said that there was going to be many on that day that say, didn't we do all these wonderful works? Didn't we perform these miracles and cast out these devils? We fed the poor. We did all these wonderful things. We built a hospital for kids, and we made a house for orphans. Then we do all these things. And Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It was because it wasn't done in conjunction with God. They weren't co-laboring with God. They hadn't submitted themselves before God. And I want to tell you, no matter how religious you are, if what you're doing is not acceptable in the sight of God, it doesn't matter what you do. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble on judgment day. It will be burned up. The fire of God will try every work. Not only every work, but even every idle word. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what Jesus said. That he's going to judge every idle word. The things that I'm not saying, he's going to judge me for. Now that should put the fear of God in us. Amen? So the first thing I believe that we've got to do is we've got a purpose in our heart to come and submit ourselves before God. We've got a purpose in our heart to say, you know what, Lord, I need you. I want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to follow my own chart. I don't want to follow my own course. I don't want to do what I think is right. I want to put myself before you, and I want to do what you think is right and acceptable. Amen? You know, there's a kind of a lesson. I'm one of those people that I learn the hard way. I learn most through failure. Okay, that's just how I do. And whenever I was in college, I was trying to pay for my way through college, and I was learning to be an electrician. And I'm just a slow learner, okay? I didn't understand that if you grab one of those switches on both sides of it, it'll shock you, right? And I kept doing it. I did it about 9 times. And I mean, I was like one of those Three Stooges. I was doing my head, and I was like, I don't understand. And I kept touching it, and it kept shocking me. And finally, that master electrician came over there, and he said, are you going to do it the way I told you to do it, instead of doing it your own way? And I said, okay, show me how to do this. And then he began to show me how to do it, and you know what? I never got shocked again. Because I had to be shown how to do it right. I was doing it my own way, and I kept hurting myself and hurting myself and hurting. And I believe in the spiritual, in Christianity, I believe so many people, because they're not robbing banks, because they're not, you know, committing adultery, they're not murdering somebody, they're just doing their own thing, charting their own course, doing what they want to do. And I always go back to that story, and I remind myself, that's how you get shocked, doing what you want to do. Doing how you want to do, going the speed you want to go, and all these things. That's how you get shocked. But until we come and submit ourselves at the feet of the Master, we won't know what we truly need to be doing, truly need to be saying, what we truly need to be applying our lives for. There's a higher calling over your life. And that higher calling you'll never know and understand until you sit at the feet of Jesus. Until you come and be like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus, you'll never know your purpose. You'll never know why God has you here. The works that you do will be done in vain most times. Most of the things that we've done could be labeled as idle. We were just spinning our wheels. But I believe God's got a greater purpose for you. I believe God wants you to show you tonight how to get things where they need to be. Amen. What I needed that master electrician to show me how to hold that thing. And I believe God wants you to see how to do this thing as well tonight. I want to show you that in Hebrews chapter 9. It's by the blood. Hebrews chapter number 9. What I was saying is, We can submit ourselves before God, and we can do religious works, and we can give ourselves to activity. But if we haven't been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, it's all for naught. It doesn't matter how much religious work we do. It doesn't matter how hard we try. If we've not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, it's all for naught. What we talked about this morning was at Passover, they would take the blood of that lamb and they would apply that blood over the doorpost. They would put it on this side, that side, in the top of that doorpost. And then they had to shut the door and lock themselves behind that blood from the world. And I believe one of the things that God's calling you to tonight is to work in conjunction with that blood, to get the blood of Jesus applied over your soul, to get back right where you're supposed to be in His eyes. I want to tell you, your beautiful smile and your talent and all of your charisma, if it's not been applied, the blood to it is for nothing. God accepts no man's persons. He's a respecter of no person. There's one thing that God respects, and what God respects is the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb of God. What God respects is the blood of the Lamb. And when that destroyer, when that angel of the Lord came down through Egypt, he killed every firstborn in every home. Didn't matter who you were, where you were from, how much money you had, or how many hospitals for orphans and kids you built. It didn't matter who you were until the blood was applied to the doorpost of your home. He was coming in. One thing protects you. One thing protects you. One thing sets you on the right course. One thing marks you for glory. One thing sets the seal of God over your life, and that is that the blood of the Lamb of God has been applied to the soul. One thing is what you need. One thing, and that one thing is the blood of Jesus purifying you, cleansing you, and marking you for glory. What we need more than anything else is not new denominations. We don't need new teachers. We don't need new commentaries. We don't need to go to eBay or Amazon and buy new books. We don't need new churches. What we need is to come back to the one foundation of Jesus Christ and have the blood of God Himself applied to the soul of man, and then be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what God's called us to do, whether that's encouraging someone, preaching to someone, or tarrying before the Lord in prayer all night. Whatever God's called us to do, then it will be acceptable before God. Everything else will not be acceptable before God. God's called us to come back to this root and this foundation of Jesus Christ and to have that blood applied over our lives. I believe that many people pray in vain because they've not been purified by the blood. They've got something held back. They've got something that isn't in this place that God wants you to be in. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. It says, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I want to tell you what God's telling you here is that the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of that heifer, they would purify folks so that they could serve God in the sanctuary. Those things would purify that Levitical priest so that they could come into the presence, the real presence of God. They could come into the Holy of Holies because they had been cleansed by an animal. Listen to me. They could come into the Holy of Holies. They could come into where the Ark of the Covenant was, where if you didn't come in right, you would die. But they could come in if they had been cleansed by the blood of an animal. And he says, if God did that for them, and he would cleanse them by the blood of an animal to the point to where God would accept them, he would purge their sin, their failures, and their past, and he would accept them into his presence by the blood of an animal, how much more now? When you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, will not God accept you? And it says, not only will he accept you, but he will purge your conscience. You know what that means? That means that every ungodly thing that you've done, that you've thought, idle words. Come on, somebody. How many of you had idle words in the past? How many of you done things you shouldn't have done in the past? Don't you want that thing to be severed from your account? Don't you want that thing to be washed in the sea of forgetfulness? As far as the east is from the west, God said, I'll remember it no more. There's some things that I want to throw in that sea. Amen. There's some things that I've done I want God to put in that sea of forgetfulness, and I don't want to see it no more. And I'm telling you, when you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, he said he will purge your conscience. That means you'll remember those things no more. Now, will the devil try to bring them up? Yeah, but if you know what the blood of Jesus does, if you'll let the Word of God speak for you, don't let the devil lie to you, you come back to the Word of God and you say, nah, devil, I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's not just the blood of a bull or a goat or a heifer, it's the blood of God himself. The blood of God incarnate has cleansed me. You've been separated from that sin, those idle words, those ungodly deeds, the purposelessness that we lived in our past. Those things have been purged, and now God has cleansed me. And look at the last part of that verse. Now I can serve God. Now I can serve God. Now I can labor with God. Now I've got a different purpose. Now look, God's not going to purge you so you can sit on the couch. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say God will purge you so you can sit on the couch. It says He'll purge you from those dead works so that you can serve Him. So that you can co-labor with Him. So that you can submit yourself before Him and say, Lord, what do we want to do today? What do we want to do today? When was the last time we came before God? You came before God. You kneeled down in prayer and you said, Lord, what can we do today? God might tell you, go up to Gospel Lighthouse, grab one of those signs and one of those speakers and go preach. Or He may tell you, you know, get one of those gospel tracts and hand it out. Or He may tell you, go in that prayer closet and pray for someone. He may tell you, pick up that phone and encourage someone. He may tell you to go sit with someone that's sick. I didn't come to bring cards or flour. I just came to bring the love of God and talk to you. Amen. But you see, the difference is that those things have to be done in a person who's been purged from their past, who's been purged from their sin. And I want to tell you that unless those things have been purged, those things will have to be dealt with on Judgment Day. The only thing that won't be judged on Judgment Day are those things that have been purged by the blood of God. Are you with me? And I don't know about you, but there's some things that I am so thankful that God purges. But some of us, you need to know this. There's some things in your life that have hindered you from serving God. There's some things that have hindered you from serving God. And I want to tell you that God has made a way for you. And the way that God made for you was with His own blood. He made a way for you to be cleansed. You don't have to hold on to your past no more. You don't have to. The devil wants you to. Your flesh wants to. Your flesh loves that place of feeling condemnation. The flesh loves condemnation. But the Spirit of God is bringing that conviction. It's saying, this is that opportunity to be cleansed. This is that opportunity to be a new person. To be cleansed by the blood of God. To be purged from those guilty stains. That just like the harlot, just like the drug addict, just like the thief, just like the robber, just like the murderer, just like the liar, just like the failures, just like the down and outs, just like all of us, God has made a way for us to be cleansed, to be made whole, that our sins be purged. And it's not with animals, but it's with the blood of God Himself. And I want to tell you, when God cleanses you, when God saves you, when God purges you, He truly purges you. You can come back to this point and you can say, you know what, Lord, You've saved me, You've cleansed me, You've purged me of my past, and now You're calling me to serve You in newness of life. This is the only way that you can bring yourself, as we were singing, prepare me to be a sanctuary, right? I want to give myself as a living sacrifice to God. Amen. Romans 12, we want to be a living sacrifice for God. But no sacrifice will be acceptable to God until you've been purged by the blood of Jesus. Even to the idle word we've spoken. I'll tell you, when revival came to America the first time, it was really under Charles Finney. And one of the things that he was most notorious for was preaching repentance. And he would get people to pray, and he would get people to really pray and to think over their past sins. And I mean, they would pray for days. They would go out in a field and they would pray for days, and they would just ask the Holy Spirit, search me, show me whatever I've done. If there's something in me that's not been purged, that's not been cleansed. And I mean, when they came to those altars and the Holy Ghost fell down on those churches, it was like a revival like they had never seen before. In fact, they call it the Great Awakening, because God was awakening people out of the slumber of religion. God was waking people out of dead religion and bringing them to a living Holy Ghost. God was bringing them into the real thing. Amen? But it only happens when we've been purged. The purging is what God needs to do in the churches today. Peter teaches us that judgment starts in the house of God. Some people think of that bad. I think of that good. What do we mean by that? Start with me, God. Search me and try me. Because I know right now that the clock hasn't struck 12 yet. Right now we still live in the church age, the age of grace. Right now there's still an opportunity for you to come to the cross and be purged by the blood of Jesus Christ, God Himself. There's an opportunity for you and I to be cleansed and forgiven of our sin and then to serve God in newness of life. So Lord, start with me. Show me. And then from that point, God, let it spread to the rest of humanity. It always should start with us, right? It always should start with us. It shouldn't start with our neighbor. It should start with us. And the question I have before you tonight is, are there idle words, idle deeds, maybe works that you've done that weren't in conjunction with God? Maybe you've done them out of habit. Maybe you did it because it was the right thing to do. Unless it's done in conjunction with God, it's not right. It has to be done in conjunction with God. And I believe God wants us to just tarry before the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, if there's something in me that needs to be purged, I'm asking, Lord, that you would cleanse me by your own blood tonight. Amen? Amen. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to tarry before you. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would minister this word to each and every person in this church tonight. Lord, we don't want to hold anything back. We don't want to hold anything back. Lord, if there's any person in here tonight there's an area in our life we need purged. I want to pray for you. If there's an area in your life that you need purged before you can go forward in the things of God, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. If you would raise your hand, just raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Just say, Lord, I need to be purged tonight. Thank you, thank you.